Father, here I stand again to speak your word. Thank you for the honor of being able to stand and knowing that you are holding me up. Thank you for your arms to hold me. Thank you for the spirit that you have left to dwell within us. Never would have made it without you. Thank you, Father, for this preaching moment. Thank you that you are God, always have been, always will be. I just thank you, God, for being God. Bless this thy servant as I speak your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. The ships of life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Last week, we spoke on the ships of life, and we spoke on partnership. This week, we are riding the ship of membership, a place to belong. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 is our base scripture. We'll ask you to keep your Bible open because we're going to go through it a little bit. As believers, we are called to belong, not just believe. Even in the perfect, sinless environment of Eden, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. We are created for community, fashioned for fellowship, and formed for family. And none of us can fulfill God's purpose by ourselves. The Bible knows nothing of a solitary saint or a spiritual hermit isolated from other believers and deprived of fellowship. While your relationship with Christ is personal, God never intended it to be private. In God's family, you are connected to every other believer. And we will belong to each other for eternity. Following Christ involves belonging, not just believing. You cannot be an isolated Christian. You have to belong somewhere. Being a member of a church means being a vital organ of a living body. It's indispensable, interconnected part of the body of Christ. We need to recover and practice the biblical meaning of membership. The church is a body, not a building. An organism, not an organization. Although we may have an organizational chart, we are an organism that have a function to do. For the organs of your body to fulfill their purpose, they must be connected to your body. The same is true for you as a part of Christ's body. You were created for a specific role. You were created for a specific purpose, but you will miss this purpose in your life if you are not attached to a living local church. Amen, somebody. Won't probably won't get too many shouts today. But that's all right. I said this the first day I preached at Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church. I brought all the amens that I will need. I brought them with me. You will discover your role in life through relationships with others. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. For we have many members in one body. All members have not the same office. Amen. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. I can't make it without you. I need you to help me make it. You need me whether you realize it or not. We just need one another. If an organ is somehow severed from its body, it will shrivel and die. It cannot exist on its own, and neither can you. Disconnected and cut off from the lifeblood of a local body, your spiritual life will wither and eventually cease to exist. This is why the first symptom of spiritual decline is usually, help me, Holy Ghost, an inconsistency in attendance of worship service or other gathering of believers. You cannot remain a believer of Christ and are not there when they are. He said in his word, fail not to assemble yourself. That means gathering together. As much as you might not think you can stand somebody in the church, you need them. I know that's hard to understand and grasp when you're standing in the flesh, but those chairs that you're in, something had to die for you to be able to use those chairs. That's the way it is with us. Some part, something that about us that we don't like about somebody else needs to die, meaning that it ceased to exist. The first symptom of spiritual decline, as we said, is this lack of attendance. Well, today is last Sunday, we'll say, was Pastor's Appreciation. I need to show up so he'll think or know that I'm with him. I come and I get that message and I go home. Stay away. The third Sunday in next month is Women's Day. If I'm a man, I won't show up for that. If I'm a lady, I'll show up for that. But my point is that inconsistency with attendance. Be that way about your job. Go when you feel like it. And see how long you'll remain on that job. But we do God that way. Members in the family of God is neither unimportant nor something to be casually ignored. The church is God's agenda for the world. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and I say unto you, unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Some people look at that and see it as Jesus is saying the church is going to be on the inside. No, you need to look at that in another way. He's telling the devil and all his imps that I'm going to build my church. And my church is going to come where you are. That's one thing that's wrong with church folks now. We try to stay inside of the church house. You need to get out of the church house. For the church ought to be on the inside of you. And wherever I go, the church goes. and the church is Jesus Christ. I can, in my mind, I can see Jesus when he's standing up talking to them and he's telling people, he said, I will build my upon this rock. I will build my church. A lot of people want to think he's talking about Peter, but I see him pointing his finger at himself. I will build my church upon this rock, meaning that he's the rock of our salvation, that nothing can move him, but you got to become a member of the church and let the church be on the inside of you. The church is indestructible, and it will exist for eternity. It will outlive the universe, and so will your role in it. The person who says, I don't need the church, is either arrogant or ignorant. They just don't understand. They need the church. The church is so significant that Jesus died on a cross for it. He died on a cross for the church. He didn't die for himself. This is why you need to become a member of a local Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. You need the church. Yes, everybody said the church. No, you need the church because the church will take you out of this world. You need it so you can get out of this world. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, husband loves your wife, even as Christ also loved the church. He gave his life for it. I'm telling you, you got to die for something, so you might as well die for the church of Jesus the Christ. Christ came for the church. He didn't come for you. He came for the church. And you are part of the church. So therefore, you will go back with him. But you got to love him. If you don't love him, you'll walk off and leave him. You might get angry with the church, with some people in the church. That's not the church. That's your sandpaper. That's why you need them, to make you get better. Those people that we don't like, they're our sandpaper. They rub us up and they rub us down. They keep sanding us. But you get better. If you don't like them, hang around them just a little while. And you'll know you won't like them still. You'll learn to love them. And he didn't say like them. He said love ye one another. And if you love them, that goes past the liking. The Bible calls the church the bride of Christ and the body of Christ. I can't imagine saying to Jesus, I love you, but I hate your wife. The church is the wife of Christ. If you're going to love him, you got to love my wife. If you can't stand me, you're not going to be around my wife, because you got to love both of us, because he said the two becomes one. So you got to love them. If you don't love Christ's church, you will not love him. I love you, but I dislike your wife. I accept you, but I reject your body. How you gonna do that? You got to have it. When they take and put one organ in the body, that's not that body. If the body rejects it, it dies. So you got to receive it as your own. You got to take it with you. You got to become a member of the church. The church is on the inside of you. But we do this whenever we dismiss or demean or complain about the church. Everybody got something about something that they don't like. You don't like yourself, but you're not going to dismiss yourself from yourself. You need yourself, so you're not going to dismiss it. You're going to dislike something about anybody. If you had $1 million, you wouldn't like that $1 million because you'd want another $1 million. So just keep right on loving God no matter what comes or what goes. God commands us to love the church as much as Jesus does. Love the church as much as Jesus does. I'm not talking about this building. I'm not talking about that. No, that's not the church. The church is on the inside of you. God, Christ comes and lives in you. That becomes the church.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Point number one. See, y'all thought I was already at my point. See, gotcha. Gotcha that time. Point number one. Point number one. A church family identifies me as a genuine believer. A church family identifies me as a genuine believer. I cannot claim to be following Christ if I am not committed to some specific group. Y'all do know commitment is one of my favorite words. That's one of my favorite words. I cannot, if I'm not committed to any specific group, then how can I know what I'm doing? You have to be. This is one thing the pastors groups that I work in, we're trying to cross all boundary lines of denomination. The devil is the originator of being separated because of denomination. Pastor Ewan, we were at a meeting at his church. He read from his Bible. It was just like mine. Pastor Parker, Compton, Raymond Williams got the same Bible. But we separate ourselves. And that's not what it is. We need, if we are genuine believers, then we have a church family. Your family is more than the people that live in the same house that you live in. If all of your family live in your house, y'all just about extinct. Because when everybody in that family die out, there will be no more of your family. So, okay. John chapter 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. When we come together in love as a church family from different backgrounds, different races, and different social status, it is a powerful witness to the world. You are not a body of Christ on your own. You need others to express that togetherness, not separated, we are the body of Christ. We cannot make it without one another. We need to be the example to the world to show them what this word love is all about. If we show love towards one another, then the world will see that and they will want to be like you are. Not be you, be like you are. Show the love that we have one towards another. We have to show this because when we are genuine believers, we love others. Amen. That's how we know. Jesus, they will know because you love one another. By this, point number two. A church family moves me out of self-centered isolation. A church family moves me out of self-centered isolation. And I could stay right there for a long time because that's how I used to think I was. I didn't feel like I needed nothing and nobody. I could make it by myself. Had a job, had a wife and two kids. I took care of them, and that felt like that's all I needed. Until coming there, you can make it by yourself. But when until coming there, you need some help. You need some help. I was isolated and I was self-centered and I thought I couldn't make it. I didn't need nobody. I thought until. Then I knew I needed somebody. A local church is a classroom for learning how to get along with God's family. It is a laboratory for practicing getting along in God's family. It's in this lab, you get a chance to practice unselfishness, sympathetic love, and caring for others. And as a participating member, you learn to care about others and share the experiences of others.
Well,
you don't have to go through every experience. But you can share what other people go through. This is why we need one another. What? Time out. Time out. Do y'all watch TV? Do y'all watch commercials? Do y'all see the two guys running along there with Cox TV, Cox? The guy that falls in the hole, he wanted to share what he had. What he had. Sometimes you need to make sure what you have is what other people need. And you share it with them. The commercial, the part that I want you to see is the sharing part, not the guy falling in the hole. I don't want you to see that. But I see most of his mind went to the guy falling in the hole. But he was sharing what he had because he thought his neighbor didn't have it and he wanted to share it with him. This is the way we need. We need to share what we have to give it to others. Don't see him falling in the hole. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Only in regular contact with ordinary, imperfect people, imperfect believers, can we learn real fellowship and experience the New Testament truth of being connected and dependent on each other. There's not a perfect person in this building. Everybody have done something wrong. And one church has a slogan, the perfect church for the imperfect people. Because none of us are perfect. We are perfect through Jesus the Christ. Not within ourselves, not by ourselves. We are imperfect. But when we are imperfect, if we get a bunch of imperfect people together and we start working towards being perfect, looking at Jesus the Christ. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus the Christ. See the Christ in each one of us. Bunch of imperfect people looking for the perfect Christ in each one of us. We can get along and we can make it as a body of believers. Biblical fellowship is being connected to each other as we are to Jesus Christ. From that statement, I know why some of us can't connect with other people. Because you're not connected to Jesus Christ. You know how to play it and how to act like it and how to do it, but you really are not connected to Jesus Christ. If you can't connect to other people because they may have done something different from you, you messed up. You missing something.
Well.
I might not agree with you, but we can get along. Because the love of God that's within each one of us. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, he did not ridicule anybody. The first thing he said out of his mouth was, Father, forgive them.
Yes.
Look what they had done to him. And he's asking God to forgive them for what they're doing to him. And you want to be like him? And you can't love these people down here that's trying to do... God expects us to give our lives for each other. Many of us in here, and I have to raise my hand on this, and y'all don't know what I'm saying, so I'm going to be first. Many of us are Christians. We are aware of John 3:16, but we are unaware of 1 John 3:16. Unaware of 1 John 3:16. And it says, Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brother. Yeah, 1 John 3:16. Get that one in your spirit, that you're willing to die for your brother. You're willing to lay your life down for them, even if they have done you wrong. That, for God so loved the world. Yeah, we got that one. But 1 John 3:16, you're going to put your life on the line for somebody else. And are you willing to do that? That's the love of God. When you're willing to lay your life down for somebody else. That's what he wants us to do. This is the kind of sacrificial love God expects you to show other believers. A willingness to love them the same way that Jesus loved you. Jesus loved you enough to die for you. He loved you enough to die for you. That's what it means to become a member of a church. That's what it means to be attached to a local body of believers. You're attached to it. Point number three. The church family helps me to develop spiritual muscles. The church family helps me to develop spiritual muscles. You will never grow to maturity just by attending worship service and being a passive spectator. Yeah, you can come, show up, and that's all you do. Your strength, you won't receive any strength from that. You'll get something from it. Yeah, but when you become stronger in the word of God, you need to do more than just show up a little bit. Only by participation in the full life of a local church builds spiritual muscles. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body fit jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You got to work with others in order to show. You have to work out. You have to work out. And when you work out, this is what happens. And because we are a whole lot of different people from different areas, from different backgrounds, we have to mold it together. We have to work. It's a give and take in everything that we do. A friend of mine, and I'm not going to call her name, told me when she... So now I said she, so y'all know it's a lady. When she first came to this church, said she saw me, saying I had that toothpick in my mouth. So she said, "Oh no." Said, "There ain't no way I'm gonna go to this church. Here, this guy is with a toothpick." So she said, "The next place is gonna be behind his ear." She got a chance to see it behind my ear, because I was up here the other Sunday with it behind my ear. But we have to take our differences and put them together, and it makes a real good gumbo. Yeah, gumbo, that's what it is. Get it all and put it in the pot and cook it and season it up. And just when you think you got everything and everybody figured out, guess what happened? Some strange, weird person come in, and you gotta love them too. I'll get to them in a minute. Over 50 times in the New Testament, the phrase one another or each other is used. We are commanded to love each other, pray for each other, encourage each other, admonish each other, greet each other, serve each other, serve each other. I wrote serve each other twice And I wrote it. When I wrote it the first time, I didn't know I had done it. But now I figured out why I done it. Because we need to emphasize that. Serving each other instead of trying to serve ourselves. I can receive service by serving you. Because I'm being more like Jesus. It teaches us to be like him. He did not come down here to die for himself. He was as much the Son of God before he came down to in Mary's womb as he was the day that he went back. He's been the Son of God all the time. Ever since there been, before there was time, he was the Son of God. He did that for me. He loved me another. That's what we need. We need to get off this self-centeredness and love others. We need to teach others, accept each other, honor each other, bear each other's burden. I should have written this one here twice too. Forgive each other. We need to submit to each other. We need to be devoted to each other. And there are many others. This is the biblical real maturity that shows up in relationships. When we can do everything we do and do it for others and not for ourselves. That's when we become a member of the local church. You have to become a member of a local church. You need to become a member of a local church. The covenant on the wall said, when I leave this place, move away from here as soon as possible, you ought to attach yourself to a Bible-believing local church. That's why sometimes they say long-distance love don't last. I'm in Crestview and she in Timbuktu. A local, get in there. And I don't know how, I know how they feel in the spirit, but some of them in the flesh, if they don't see you walk down the aisle, you're not a member of a church. But I told most of those I talked to that haven't walked down the aisle that come here, I'm funny. The day you walk in here, I claim you. You can go somewhere else and make your membership there, that's all right, but I still claim you. For anybody, I've asked God, anybody you want at this church, you send them. That's why most of them, if I talk to you and this is your first time here, I tell you where the other churches are. Because you need to be where God needs for you to be. Because if you stay here and God don't want you here, all you're going to do is cause trouble for me, you, and everybody else. Go on where God wants you. Don't stay someplace if God don't want you. Don't happen to you. He got something for you to do, but it might not be here. Because most of the guys around here, I know they all preaching from a King James Bible. My conclusion. Whenever a child is born, he or she automatically becomes a part of the universal family of human beings. But that child needs to become a member of a specific family to receive nurture and care and grow up healthy and strong. The same is true spiritually. When you were born again, you automatically became a part of God's universal family. But you also need to become a member of a local expression of God's family. The difference between church, a church attender and a church member is commitment. Attenders are spectators from the sideline. Members get involved in the ministry. Attenders are consumers. Members are contributors. Attenders want the benefit of a church without sharing the responsibilities. They are like a couple who want to live together without being married with a commitment. It's a commitment that you make to God. God, I'm going to attach myself to this body of believers, and this is what I'm going to do. It's important to join a local church family because it proves you are committed to your spiritual brothers and sisters. In reality, not just in theory. You can spend a lifetime searching for a perfect church, but you will never find it. If you find a perfect church and you become a member, it's imperfect because you became a member. In Acts, the Christians in Jerusalem were very specific in their commitment to each other. They were devoted to fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. God expects you to commit to the same things today. The Christian life is more than just commitment to Christ. It involves a commitment to other Christians. You become a Christian by committing yourself to Christ, but you become a church member by committing yourself to a specific group of believers. The decision brings salvation. The second decision brings fellowship. You have to make a decision whether you are going to become a member of a church or not. This is a weed that was growing in my yard a week and a half ago. I pulled it up out of the ground. Look at how long and how deep the roots is in this plant. It's more of it below the ground than it is on top of the ground. When I pulled it out, it was all green and alive. It's been laying right over here for a week and a half. I removed it from where it was supposed to be, attached to the earth, so it could draw nutrients from there. And so it could not. So what did it do? It died. That's what happened to you when you do not allow yourself to be attached to a Bible-believing church. You will die because you like nutrients. You're not being fed with what you need. We need to stay attached to the church. We need to be members of a local Bible-believing church. And Macedonia might not be the place for you. It might be somewhere else. Am I trying to run you away? No. Am I going to make you come? No. I want you to know that you need to be attached. And then, when you go to the other church, you need to understand that some changes are going to have to be made by other people. I told the groups that are in our Bible study of something that happened to me last week and this week. I changed my exercise routine. I changed my exercise routine, and this is all I did right here. I changed this right here. Of the 4 days that I go to the gym, I walk 4.5 miles in an hour. The other 2 days I lift weights, do leg exercise and everything. I do the gamut, trying to stay healthy. So I like to jump rope and used to teach routines about jumping rope. So I wanted me a jump rope, and I looked for the ones we had at the house and I couldn't find it, so I went and bought me a cheap one. And when the last time I studied this, it said, I read somewhere where it says 600 jumps is the equivalent of running a mile. So the first day I jumped, I went out there. Confession is good for the soul. I went out there with the intentions of jumping at least 600. And I used to, that's how you know you're getting old, when you say used to. When I used to jump them in sets of 100. So the other day when I first started, after I got out there and jumped the first set, I found out I couldn't do as many as I used to do. So I did about 80 something, and I said, well, I finished out that 100 and I rest. I jumped 300 jumps. Now, time out. I want y'all to stop seeing the jump rope. I want you to see the membership. When new people come, new people come, they bring some stuff with them. Not that you are lost and they are lost, but there's a change that's going to come. I just knew. I knew. Since I was walking 4 miles and a half in an hour and been doing it for the last 4 or 5 years, I just knew. I just knew there was going to be nothing to it. I knew there was going to be nothing to it. But I never did get to 600. I got to 300. And when I got to 300 the next morning when I got out of bed, my left leg in the calf, you talk about hurt. It hurt. It hurt. And I'm saying, why did it hurt when I walked those 4 miles and a half almost at least two times a week? Why was my leg hurt? Why was it sore? And it's sore now. I tried it last night. When my wife said, did you jump him? I said, no. I jumped about better than 150. But my point in telling you this is that when other people come, it doesn't mean that they're wrong or you're wrong. It's just a change that's going to come. And I figured out why that bothered my legs. Because when I jump rope, I jump like this. And those muscles stay tight all the time, and they were not used to that. I know I should have known that, but I didn't. That's the way it is about these new people that come in and become part of your church or part of your missionary group. They're different. They're not wrong. They're just different than what you're used to. So you need to accept them and keep doing it. Now, if I don't jump anymore, the next time I try to jump, it's going to be the same way. So what do you mean by I'm going to keep jumping? So what do you mean? When those people come in and they're a little bit different, you keep loving them. Because, stand up. Y'all see this guy right here? He looks like he'll bite your head off if you say anything to him. I'm talking, you just stand up there. When you look at him, if y'all could be up here in the morning when I'm preaching, look at him, he's sitting there. He looked like he'll bite your head off and won't hurt a flea. But what are you saying? That's the way it is. If we go by what it looks like or how they seem to act, we'll miss a blessing. And all we need to do is just receive them and keep loving them. But now, listen. God will place you where he need for you to be. And when he first place you there, you may feel uncomfortable. You may feel out of place. But keep trusting in God. The ships of life, the world have taken the biblical meaning out of membership. Membership biblically is that we care for one another. Most of us probably got some kind of membership card to something in your wallet right now. And you're a member and it costs you. It's that with serving God too. To be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, it costs you. You have to give up your sin. And Christ is the answer to your sin. With that, we'll ask you to stand. And if you don't know Jesus, this is your time. This is your time.